The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. My name is Gil Alexander. That right there is Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Hey-o.
Producer number 9. So much more than a producer. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastically. Thank you.
Lovely weekend in Las Vegas.
Oh, my God. We have rain?
We have rain, yes.
It's cold?
It was a rainy Sunday. It was very hard for me to get off the couch yesterday.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was awesome.
If we could be guaranteed one day a week like this during the summer, real estate prices would rise exponentially.
Yes, you are 100% right. What are we supposed to top out at? Like 72 today?
Oh, man, it's fantastic.
May 5th.
Enjoy it while we can, because it's coming.
It terrifies me every spring we get one last cold day like this, because I'm like, oh, boy, it's gonna be 110 till like November.
Remember, was it last year? 20 straight days of 115 or higher last year. Human beings, just going to suggest this to you and Bugsy Siegel and everybody else who came up with this idea. Human beings were not supposed to live here. So let's enjoy this while we can.
Once we get to like 104, there's no difference anymore.
Oh, I disagree. Disagree.
Disagree,
because when it goes from 115 down to 104, you're like, this is fantastic.
Yeah, no, disagree with that. Mm-hmm. And you know, Matt Brown and Matt Eumanns are both waiting for it to still get warmer so they can go golf at 104. They need people cleared off the golf course.
I mean, Matt Brown is Matt Brown, and Matt Eumanns is a medical marvel. So there you go.
It really is.
Carl Sack, NBA today from Killer Sports. We'll talk to Carl about all four conference semifinals. And boy, does the NBA have four great ones lined up. One, of course, has already started with the Pacers game one upset of the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll talk about that here momentarily. Paul Sporer on baseball. Wes Reynolds joins us to talk about Scottie Scheffler shooting a million under par this past weekend, what he's got coming up with the PGA championship, what else he's betting on. Spanky will join us, the creator of Bet Bash. Spanky, also a host of the Be Better Betters podcast. It's always hard to get that. Be Better Betters podcast. And he's got this MLB handicapping contest going on, which he came on the show a month ago to talk about. And I hope everybody caught that. I hope everybody joined. But we'll do it one more time here, because this is a pre-All-Star break MLB handicapping contest, which I am participating in, by the way. It's about 200 people deep.
Okay.
$10,000 top prize.
Whew.
Yeah, man.
All right, let's go.
It's a marathon. 240 picks minimum from beginning of baseball season to All-Star break for you to qualify.
Doesn't matter when you make them, just before.
Doesn't matter. You can make 10 today, 10 tomorrow. You can get there as quickly as possible. You can lollygag it the whole way through right up until the middle of June, or excuse me, middle of July when the All-Star break happens. But that's part of the deal, too, is getting enough volume.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. And this is probably the last reminder of this, because once you get past early May, it's going to be virtually impossible for you to get to 240. You know, if we did this in beginning of June, it'd be like, oh, now you got to really do a ridiculous amount of games every day.
I don't even know how, switching to our NBA one with Carl. It's like, if I didn't start firing out of the gates, I don't know how I would have gotten to 20.
That's right.
So some of those guys that waited, I was kind of impressed with making up ground.
By the way, first round in the books, and the leaderboard for the NBA, what Kelly's referring to is the VSiN Killer Sports NBA Playoff Challenge, which we're doing here. 15 handicappers. With the top prize. What is the top prize? $3,000 in this one?
I believe so, yes.
First round, Doug Kazarian, 14-6. Steve Fezzik, 13-7. Kelly Bidelon and Alex Christensen, both 12-8.
Yeah, I think I lost my last three games there, though, so that's kind of frustrating.
I had the under in the Pacers game last night, and yesterday afternoon, and it almost got there somehow.
Yeah.
Somehow. Also, by the way, who else? No hockey. We don't have a hockey guest today. Oh, that's
right. We got Jake tomorrow. We'll talk a little puck with Wes.
Well, we'll talk puck with Wes, but I just want to say this. The NHL looked at the NBA game sevens and was like, your game sevens are adorable with your blowouts, with your Nuggets crushing the Clippers and all the NBA hardos, with the Warriors kind of easy peasy getting by the Rockets, which we'll talk about. But did you see that? I mean, while we were watching NBA.
Yeah.
Good God. It was two nights in a row. First of all, there was that Edmonton game a few nights ago where the Edmonton was down two and they stormed back and won against the Kings, which was awesome. And then two nights ago, ranting in for the Stars, for the Dallas Stars, he had a hat trick. It basically scored a third period hat trick to help the Stars advance past the Avalanche. Mikko Rantanen, who played with the Avalanche, comes back to haunt his old team. What an amazing dominant performance that was down the stretch of that game. And then last night while we were watching basketball, Winnipeg down 3-1 scores twice in the final 2 minutes. First, it was Vladislav Namestnikov who scores, and then a last moment goal, and I'm talking 1.6 seconds left in the game. Cole Perfetti off a shot from left winger Kyle Connor past Jordan Binnington, and they force overtime. Do the Winnipeg Jets, the President's Trophy winners this year, with 1.6 seconds left, and then they end up winning in double overtime, in the second overtime, I should say, on an Adam Lowry deflection. And so Winnipeg, by the way, only 8 President's Trophy winners have ever won the Cup since they started doing the President's Trophy in the mid-80s. Only 8.
I would say that's interesting, but as you always do a great job of every postseason talking about...
It's completely random.
Talking about how wild random the playoffs are with the NHL.
You're 100% right. It's completely random, and no one should be surprised by that stat. So anyway, the NHL is just amazing, and so we'll... obviously, four series in the NHL... left as well, with Florida and Toronto game one tonight. Panthers, by the way, all the teams without home ice to that point, Kelly, every team without the home ice is the favorite in the series. So Florida, a minus 170 favorite for the series, game one tonight at Toronto. Carolina at Washington. Carolina is a minus 160 series favorite, game one tomorrow night in D.C., Edmonton at VGK. This is the closest, most closely lined one of them all. Edmonton, a minus 115 favorite in that series against the Golden Knights. That starts at T-Mobile tomorrow night. And then Wednesday night, the aforementioned Winnipeg Jets have home ice against the Dallas Stars. Dallas, the minus 160 series favorite. So we'll talk hockey as the week progresses. As far as the NBA yesterday, Pacers get it done. 121-112, game one win over the Cavaliers in a game that does go over the total. Not only, of course, do the Pacers cover, but they win it outright. They led 36-25 after the first quarter. They closed that with a 10-0 run. They led by 6 at the half. Cavs did take an 85-84 lead with 3:16 left in the third quarter after a 10-0 run themselves. That was actually a part of a 13-0 run. But then Indiana led it 92-90 at the end of the third. They closed the game on a 20-10 run to give you your final score of 121-112. It was tight up until that moment. Nembhard, 23. Halliburton, 22 and 13 assists. Mitchell, 33 in defeat. But what's the stat we only need in a box score to tell you who won the game, Kelly?
3 points.
Pacers, 19 of 36, 52.8%. Cavs, 9 of 38 for 23.7%. Overcoming, by the way, 16 Pacers turnovers. Cavaliers, should they be worried? Adjusted series price, Indiana plus 170, up a game.
Yeah, I think there's, I think you got to separate a couple things here, right? I think if we just looked at the game one results and a lot of the numbers that you just ran through, no, I wouldn't be worried. Couple that together, though, with Darius Garland looking like this is a little bit more serious than...
And how soon before game time did we learn of this?
I was fairly surprised. I don't want to put it like that. I wasn't 100% sure he was going to be back right away for game one.
It was minutes. It wasn't hours.
It was very close to game time. Yeah. And I was fairly surprised to see it, because I think it's, if he's missing game one, then we're probably talking missing game two, and then it reassessing things for once they have to hit the road. So that's a big deal. That is a big deal. I think it's important to keep in mind when you see what Donovan Mitchell did last night and how much of the offense, usage rate, shots that he put up. You have to keep in mind that so much of the Cavaliers' success this year was Donovan Mitchell willing to take a bit of a step back, Gil, as far as being that offensive dynamo and involving the rest of this team and getting them all better together as a team. And a lot of that had to do with his play with Darius Garland. So, look, if Garland's not going to be on the court, you're going to see a lot of what you saw out of Donovan Mitchell last night, and that's going to be a lot of shots up from him. I think you could look player props over, but it doesn't necessarily make this team better as a whole. So I'm not going to say huge concern for the Cavs right now, but coupled Garland with a loss at home, a little bit for sure.
Game two is tomorrow night in this series. The total remains at 229.5. The spread ticks up to minus 9.5 in favor of the Cavaliers. most people would immediately go to Zigzag here and be like, oh, lay it. Are you that confident in that?
So I probably will end up there, Gil. I haven't pulled the trigger yet, though, which should tell you something. You know, I like to bet a lot of openers in these games, especially since I think all the money is only going to go the Cavaliers' way from now until basically that game time. Probably be more of a first half look for me, but maybe full game as well. But I'm not going crazy. Again, if we don't know Garland's in there, look at what the rest of this offense did on the Cleveland side, and there were some struggles. Ty Jerome was awesome all season. Yeah. He can't be putting up 20 shots in this offense.
No one loves Ty Jerome more than me. He was the official player when he was with Virginia of a numbers game. We loved him when he took Virginia to the title, but I had that same feeling yesterday.
And they did a great job of pointing it out on the broadcast, but this is just not what this Cavaliers team's been all season long as far as putting up that. You had 50 shot attempts between Donovan Mitchell and Ty Jerome. That's not how this is going to work to get past the Pacers.
The playoffs really brings that out. I'm not comparing Ty Jerome to, say, like a Quentin Post for the Warriors, but when you're watching the Warriors, you're like, get him off the court.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
It was a great game one, and credit to the Pacers, right? I think there is some of the things you brought up, the turnover differential. Everybody's going to point to the shooting, right, as we often do, but the turnover differential, there were a lot of parts of this game that the Cavaliers did dominate, and look, they took that lead in the third, and the Pacers could have easily have given up and lost that game. They came back and won it.
Warriors, T-Wolves, we'll get to after the break, after the Warriors Game 7 win over the Rockets yesterday, and then, of course, both Game 1s tonight, or Games 1, however you want to say it. Knicks, Celtics, Nuggets, OKC, rest or rust, plus a May baseball update on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Take your betting to the next level with First Bet. Whether it's Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, or the road to the Triple Crown, First Bet puts the action at your fingertips. Sign up now at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSiN200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today at firstbet.com. Everybody's going to be fiending for what Felica, after his big underdog horse, won the other day. And Samich with the superfecta, and Drew, of course, as well. Everybody's going to be ready to go for the Preakness.
Yeah, for real.
in 12 days, the second leg of the Triple Crown. Sovereignty's going to run, I guess, I think. I haven't heard otherwise.
About me either, but yeah. I haven't checked my horse Twitter feed too much.
haven't checked
Saturday now.
Horsey Twitter. You haven't checked that yet? Let's talk some baseball. By the way, we did get this. I want to answer this one tennis question from Mark Descartes, who said, no tennis today, nothing on the page. Rome starts tomorrow. They're still doing qualifying today. So Rome now, this is the only tournament left before the French Open. So we finally got into the slow clay. By the way, in case you missed it, in Madrid, Arina Sabalenka beat Coco Gauff in the final. And yesterday, Casper Ruud said, don't forget about me on clay, and takes down Jack Draper as a big dog. So, Rome, now we're on the slow clay. Tennis picks will begin tonight. Again, for subscribers, VSiN.com/picks. I will have those up on the VSiN picks page, in addition to the baseball plays, Padres first five and game tonight against the Yankees, assuming it gets done, assuming there is weather that stays away from getting this one complete. Paul Sporer joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, to talk some baseball. You can follow him on Twitter at Sporer. He works at Fangraphs. Name of the podcast is Sleeper in the Bust, for goodness sakes. And of course, tell us your other job again, Paul. By the way, how you doing, Paul?
Doing very well. Thank you so much for having me on. I am the content director for Out of the Park Baseball's Perfect Team Game. It's a card collecting game throughout all of baseball history. So I create the cards there. You collect your team. You simulate against other human opponents. It's a lot of fun. So you can have a team that has, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr. and Jackie Robinson on it, things like that. You can really dive into the history of baseball, and it's a lot of fun.
That is a baseball life. Again, when we see these documentaries of football life, one day we will have Paul Sporer, a baseball life, a life dedicated to sport. Let me just ask you this, because I know you're still licking your wounds about your Pistons. Your Tigers, though, there's nothing to lick wounds about. They have the best record in the entire American League. They're 22-13. Their run differential is the best, plus 63. It's the best run differential in the entire major leagues. What say you about this Tigers team? How optimistic are you?
I'm very excited. I'm really, really happy with how things are going. You know, when Scott Harris came in, really smart guy coming into the organization to lead the squad. It didn't happen immediately, which, you know, in today's instant gratification culture kind of bothered some people. Why isn't this team any good? And then they had the switch kind of flip last year in the second half. And there was some flukiness to that, right? And I always point out that without Minnesota's collapse, you barely would have noticed that the Tigers surged. They needed the collapse to go with it to make the playoffs and then make some noise there. But they didn't rest on their laurels by any stretch. They went out, they added, and they were competitive, obviously, for Bregman as well. It could have been an A-plus offseason. But this team is very much in a contention window that they see here, and they're trying. Like, they're pushing. I think there'll be trades again this year, depending on what the team needs. But I'm really, really excited with how things are going. They've obviously gotten some standout performances. Javier Baez, chief among them, I would say. Obviously, Spencer Torkelson doing some great things, but his expectations were higher. So I would say actually Baez is a bigger surprise, even though his numbers are quite a bit less than Torkelson's, just because of the expectations coming in. So things are just going really well right now, and I think there is a lot of legitimacy to what they're doing.
You're wearing a Cincinnati Reds hat. I would be remiss if I didn't comment on that. Is there a special reason for that? Are you bullish on the Reds? What's going on?
I am bullish on the Reds. That's not specifically why I wore it, but yeah, they've been playing a lot better. When Terry Francona came in, this is somebody that you kind of give a lot of credit to at the outset and kind of see what he can do. And so a team with the talent that they had, I thought they greatly underperformed last year. And I still think that they've got some flaws, but putting one of the best managers at the helm, I think is a great way to start to turn the tide. And we're starting to see that. They are playing some solid ball. They're a game over 500. Again, gobs of talent there. Still some things to work out, but I'm pretty interested in them. And that Central, we talked about it all offseason and into the early season. Nobody really made a lot of moves. The Cubs made some big moves, some splashy moves. And of course, they're 21-14 to show for it. The rest of the division sat on their hands. So I think it is wide open here for a Reds. And before the season started, I thought maybe the Pirates could make some noise, but they just have no hitting to speak of. And then Jared Jones got hurt. But the Brewers and the Cardinals are also right there in the mix. So that's a wide open Central, at least for second place right now. I don't know if anyone's going to catch the Cubs. They are doing the right thing. They're running away and hiding right now at 21-14 to keep those other three teams at bay. But I think they're all solid. Reds, Brewers, and Cardinals all have their merits.
If you power ranked teams right now, who's your number one overall in all of Major League Baseball? Because I'll tell you who I think mine is.
It's a wonderful question, and it's not instantly the Dodgers, because you can't, I don't think you can look at that pitching and really say that right now. I think it might be the Mets, and I'm a little bit surprised at saying that, but I love what they've got going on, and that's without Juan Soto being Juan Soto yet, right? He's just been fine. It is kind of funny that we're nitpicking a 130 WRC plus, but that's the level that he's set that we can actually kind of do that. You know, he's a sub 400 OBP for the first time ever, so there can be some nitpicking here, but if he gets going, in addition to everything else they got going on, obviously they're going to be going in the right direction 100%. They're already 22-13. So yeah, I think right now it's the Mets. I want to say the Padres, but that second half of that lineup is just so suspect that I have a hard time doing that. So I'm going to go Mets.
So the team, by the way, the Mets lose two games in a doubleheader yesterday. The Cardinals each by one run in the first game. I don't know if you saw that, but it was one out, bases loaded in the eighth. And Alonso completely got squeezed on a pitch, and that was bad umping, and the Mets lose that. The team you want to say, the Padres, is the team I would say.
I thought you might be going there.
Yeah, I just think they are. They got Arias back. They're getting back Merrill tonight. They're getting back Cronenworth on Friday. They still don't have Darvish.
That's a great point.
Yeah, they still don't have Darvish, right? I get that. But that bullpen, Paul, Suarez, Estrada, Morejon, Peralta, Matsui, Jacob, Adam, I mean, you can shorten these games, not that they need to sometimes, right, with King
and
Pivetta, not that they need to, but if you need to, you can. And I just feel like offensively they are good enough and that the reinforcements are coming. I think this might be, and this is a Giants guy talking, right? So obviously the Dodgers are the behemoth. I think the Giants are super scrappy, but I kind of think the Padres might be the best team right now.
I think you might have sold me, though, because I definitely forgot that Merrill and Cronenworth are... Well, Merrill's back tonight, yep. Cronenworth back soon. And that my biggest concern of tabbing them there was their lack of lineup depth, even though they've been getting it done with those guys. So hats off to the Jason Haywards. Luis Camposano was DHing yesterday. Oscar Gonzalez, Martin Maldonado, Jason Hayward, Jose Iglesias, a bunch of fill-ins, each kind of doing their thing on a given day. No one's been great in that group, but they've all kind of done some things to stem the tide until Merrill and Cronenworth come back. But yeah, Merrill back tonight, you know what? You got me to flip my answer. I am going to bump them because they were really close to the Mets anyway. So now that I have been reminded about Merrill and Cronenworth on their way back, I'm going to bring them up to the top. Mets are still number two for me though, which means Dodgers three. And then I think maybe my Tigers would be four. I don't want to be too much of a homer there, but I think four makes some sense. What we're realizing and underscoring as we have all year so far is that the NL is an absolute powerhouse.
Absolutely. Just say it's really weighted towards the NL this year. By the way, the Padres 22-11, my favorite Padres stat of the year, 22-11. Guess how many shutouts they have already? Eight shutouts.
I was going to say six. I was close.
Eight shutouts already for the San Diego Padres. This is unbelievable.
And that gets to your point about the bullpen.
Yes.
So even when their starters don't get things done, and you know, even Cease hasn't been Dylan Cease. Nick Pivetta's
right.
Kind of made up for it. King's been great, but they've been running like two studs and then three kind of mix and match. But that bullpen just completely eliminates things. And if they have a lead after like the fifth, it's over.
It really does feel that way. DFS to take us home, sir. What do you got today? Short 10
it's
games
an interesting,
today.
Yeah. Yeah, an interesting short slate today because there's not a lot of reliability at the top. Fantasy folks so angry that Nick Pivetta got pushed off the Pittsburgh start yesterday to face the Yankees and Colorado both on the road this week. Fantasy people hate it, but for the Padres, it makes a lot of sense. Let Steven Kolek face the Pirates. Let your stud Nick Pivetta face the tough teams. I am still interested in him because I think people will lean away at the Yankees, and I get it, but he could be an interesting pivot. Cole Reagan's coming back from the groin strain against the White Sox, but then you're really looking at a lot of risk, and there's going to be a lot of different plays today. Shane Smith is somebody I really like. Casey is not hitting well. He does struggle to go five, and the win probability is low, but I love Shane Smith for the White Sox. Brady Singer has shown that moving from KC to Cincinnati has not bothered him at all. I really like him. Matthew Boyd, Griffin Canning, Ryan Nelson, AJ Smith-Schauber. Of those four, someone will be a stud tonight. I couldn't tell you who to save my life, though, because all four of them have remarkably difficult matchups. So it's four talented arms, but very, very difficult matchups. So it's a wide open board today. You got to be careful out there navigating, and do not start Landon Roop. I know he's been intriguing, but the Cubs,
thank you,
ace
Paul.
Is only against the Cubs right now.
Take Coming care. Back.
Numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander alongside Kelly Bidlon. Kelly Bidlon, it says right there on the screen. Kelly Bidlon,
that's right.
Or who was it called? Matt Brown called you Kelly Bidley. What did he call you that one time?
Yeah.
Bidley. Kelly Bidley.
Wound up with the intro for the pod and then screwed up my name, yeah.
Spanky coming up on the show. Wes Reynolds alongside here momentarily to talk multiple sports. Wes has a great point about something in hockey, which we were throwing around on our group text yesterday. We get tweets at Beating the Book, Jesse Welch. Gil, who won? This is Gil talking now. He says, quote, who won the Hustle Award? Was it Draymond? Somebody won the Hustle Award. That perfectly summarizes how much we care about these stupid awards. Jamie Leva, Feeding is an excellent Jodeci song. I'm not sure if that was on purpose, Gil. Yes, it was. I feel like Goldmember having to make a comment every time I hear a song title. Have a great day, gentlemen.
Yeah, go ahead. I don't even know. Sometimes I wonder how many on average I just miss.
You
a show, like how many references?
Man. Sorry.
How many musical references by Gil Alexander do I miss a show?
Oh, at least three.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably where I put it, too.
I'll say two or three.
A day. Yeah,
two or three. You know who never misses one?
Who?
Wesley Reynolds.
That's right.
That kid knows everything. Wes Reynolds, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together, joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at WesReynolds1. That's the number one co-host, of course, of the greatest golf podcast there ever was, Long Shots, along with Kelly Bidley and Mateo Moreno, Matt Brown. How you doing, Wes?
I don't know if Kelly Bidley is familiar with New Jack Swing like we are.
You know, I don't think so.
Jodeci reference. Feenin a great one. Come and Talk to Me, Cry for You, Forever My Lady, the remake of Stevie Wonder's Lately from the MTV Unplugged that Jodeci did. A great New Jack Swing band from the early 90s.
Listen to Wes Reynolds. Goes to the whole catalog. By the way, Kelly, Come and Talk to Me and Forever My Lady, they're hits of all time. I will say this, Wes, about the Lately remake, a little pitchy. Their Lately remake was a little pitchy, if I might suggest that.
You sound like Randy Jackson. Yeah, yeah. Little pitchy dog.
Little pitchy dog.
Yeah. Little old school American back when people watched that program.
Let me ask you about the hockey thing first that I just teased, because you made a great point, because it was something that I was texting, or not I was, but we a bunch of us were texting back in the group chain yesterday, which is this notion of it used to be, right, Wes, the old adage was, man, game sevens in the NBA and the NHL, but particularly the NHL, boy, oh boy, though, that was an underfest. Not anymore, huh?
No, absolutely not. It used to be you could print money on these things. You weren't going to win all of them. You would get a phony empty netter at the end or something. So you wouldn't win all of them. But if there were 10 game sevens in a playoff, you were probably going to hit like six of them, at least if you go to the under and at least profit. But it used to be, too, that these totals would be priced at under 5.5, juice to the under, that you could even feel safe at betting under five at plus money, like plus $1.35 or $1.40. That you could do that and feel like, okay, I'm going to get 2-1, 3-1, or 3-0 out of this, and we're going to move on and cash a ticket. But if you saw on Saturday, of course, Colorado-Dallas, by the way, was 1-0 after two periods. And all of a sudden, Colorado gets one real quick in the third period, and it's 2-0, because what you want in a game like that, you want that game tied or you want that game within one goal, because you don't want them pulling the goaltender with like 5 minutes left to go, especially in an elimination game, which they're going to have to do. Desperation comes in. But that just got to chaos. And Rantanen, the former Av, who's now with the Dallas Stars, gets a hat trick in the third. And they get the goal, the empty netter, by the way, 2.7 seconds last night or Saturday night. I don't know what it was last night with Winnipeg and St. Louis, but Winnipeg, it's 3-2. So
yeah,
1.6. So it's 3-2, by the way, where 5.5, it got bet to the under so much, it closed five over, juiced the over at so many spots. There weren't even any 5.5s, I think, at the close of business before faceoff. So, man, yeah, you can't bet. You can't bet the unders anymore in game seven. You've got to be very, very judicious.
So here's the obvious follow-up to that. Is there anything to that? Or is it just randomly that these have just, have these dramatic finishes that have forced overtime? Is there anything at play that is causing this legitimately?
Yeah, it might be a little bit of both, Gil, and I will readily admit I don't bet a ton of hockey in the regular season. I certainly follow the sport. I love watching the sport and attending games out here in Las Vegas, but I don't bet a lot in the regular season. But it did seem that the defense and the goaltending used to be a little bit better, and that maybe the teams were a little bit more, I guess, deliberate is maybe the proper term to use, that, you didn't want to make that first mistake, right? You were certainly playing your game, but you didn't want to make that crucial mistake. And now I just think that the defense and goaltending maybe has slipped a little bit. Look at the struggles of Connor Hellebuck up there in Winnipeg. Now they got the win last night, but he was getting peppered in game number six. I think he gave up like three goals in about 2 or 3 minutes, and all of a sudden, the jeers and the boo birds were coming out for him. But I can't get into like the hockey analytics. You certainly have better people on this network to do that. But the defense and goaltending used to be the old reliable in the NHL. Not so much anymore.
Well, you there is something to that, because again, I mentioned when the Oilers came back in dramatic fashion in that one game against, I can never remember which game it was. I want to say it was game five or game six, when they stormed back, they tied it up against the Kings. And they ended up winning in overtime. I remember the studio crew for the NHL broadcast, they were just losing their minds about how bad the Kings' defense was and how they didn't clear the puck, and they had so many opportunities to do so. And that was kind of the case last night, too, right? There was sort of a random, clear where they hit it all the way to the end of the ice, so it became, a face-off back in their own zone, instead of sort of trying to control the puck. And so you're right. There is something to that. Perhaps the defensive fundamentals are not what it what they have been. The only thing, and we won't belabor this anymore, but the other thing that occurs to me about this is, you know, we have the four conference semifinal series, obviously, just like we do in the NBA. Let's say we get to another game seven, Wes. I'm laughing because I think I know the answer. It's one thing for us to talk about this on a Monday morning, but in practice, will we actually then say, well, I was going to bet the under here, but I'm not going to anymore, or are we actually going to bet the under again?
Yeah, it's like, okay, Reynolds, you talk about it, or you're going to be about
That's
it.
That's right.
And, you know, I'm going to have to resist temptation because I'm going to be like, man, this under's got to be right. And the bookmakers know this too, so they're going to tax these things, you know, and that functions the same way with the NBA playoffs. Like look at tonight with Denver and Oklahoma City, 9.5. That number's already taxed because you've got a well-rested team against a team that just had to go through a really tough seven-game series. So you're not fooling anybody. So this time of year, if you're looking for a quote-unquote line value or price value, you're not going to find it. So a lot of times it's keep it simple, and you just got to go with your gut in a lot of these games.
I'll tell you one that fooled me, though, guys, was that game seven total for that Rockets-Warriors game yesterday, because that was what I was planning on betting that under. Came in, it was installed, probably about 5 points short, less than I thought it was going to be, and then it got bet up 6 points yesterday, and I'm like, all right, well, in theory, it's moving in the direction where I should get in on the under now, but where is all this money and steam coming from? And then easy under at the end of the day.
Wes, do you have a play on either of the two games tonight in the NBA with those big total, with those big spreads?
Nothing tonight. Lean a little bit. Knicks actually getting 9.5 because, of course, we saw it come to fruition last night. Everybody picks one team, and the other team's like, hey, we're here in this series too, and maybe that's going to be the Knicks, because I did find it interesting that this was 8.5, and they had several days to bet this, because this series, this price has been up for several days, and you really didn't get any movement to the Celtics until today. Now you're seeing some 9. I think you got 9.5 right behind you there at Circa. And I would lean Knicks in the spot. I think the Celtics are going to win the series, and I'm not high on that Knicks team anyway, because I really think that the Pistons, when you take the holistic view of the series, I thought that they were the better club for more of the series, even though they lose in 6 games. I just felt that it was a young team that made mistakes down the stretch against the veteran team. And that's what happens. I didn't think the Knicks were that much better than the Pistons, but this could be buy low on the Knicks. In terms of the Oklahoma City Denver, I could only bet Oklahoma City, but I feel like you're laying the worst of it now, because I do feel you've got a Denver team that's a little bit on fumes. And look, you had two rested teams last night, and it was the road team that was able to win. So sometimes it's that rest versus rust deal. So nothing for me probably at the current price on Denver, Oklahoma City. And then I really don't do a lot of player props in game one either, because I don't know how the series is going to play. So I think sometimes, you know, you want to get in on action and you want to bet these player props. These series are totally different from the first round. So be a little bit judicious, I think, if you're playing player props. You know, wait a game or two before you get involved in that.
Warriors, T-Wolves, I'm saving your Pacers for after the break, but Warriors, T-Wolves, your thoughts on that series?
Well, I think this is going to be a heck of a series. I think what you have, Gil, with these two teams, you have a bunch of ornery SOBs on both of these teams, and I think that makes for good basketball. You have Draymond on one side, Jimmy Butler, and then you have Ant-Man. Who's more ornery than that guy? And that's why I love watching the guy play, because he's just like he kind of just lets it fly. He's unfiltered, and that's what I love about watching Ant-Man. So I think that this is going to be a really good series. I think you're going to have probably a couple kerfuffles at some point over a 7-game series between these two teams, but would lean Minnesota in terms of the series price. I think you could get out $1.80 now at standpoint. So would lean T-Wolves, but as of yet, no play. But we are starting to see sevens for game one on Tuesday.
I'm a Warriors guy, as I say many times. But I would imagine if Draymond didn't play for that team, I would despise him.
Yeah, of course you would. Yeah,
I would despise him. I already dislike him, and he plays for them.
Yeah, right.
You know, like, I can't, not enough is made. As much as people despise him, I don't think it's enough. We'll come back. Wes's thoughts on his Pacers and golf next.